It's my privilege, my honor to introduce our speaker today. And we have with us Greg Chandler. And hold on, we're gonna get these woos going in a little bit. And his fiance Helene. And you said the wedding's right around the corner.
October 19th.
So congratulations to that. Amen. And just a couple quick things about Pastor Greg is he's been ministering for a while. I know he's good friends of the Roslanic family there. And he is also 2 weeks in a row. This is amazing. 2 weeks in a row. He is a veteran, Army National Guard. So we want to thank you for your service. And would you welcome Pastor Greg? Amen.
I want to do something before we get started today. Hello, everybody. Good morning. I love to praise the Lord like you love to praise the Lord. Since you love to praise the Lord, give the Lord a hand praise today because he's worthy. Yeah, thank you so much. I just wanted to share a melody with you that was on my heart. That's great. Okay, I'm gonna need you for one more thing. Oh, the volume right there. Before your throne is where we come to offer praise and seek wisdom. You have torn separates, no more outside. Now in your grace, we bow as we enter the throne room, and we cast ourselves down at your feet. We cry, holy, thou art holy, there is none like thee. In your presence is where we must be. In your presence is where we must be. Prepare our hearts for service now. When we fall short, please show us how. Guide us with your truth, Ancient of Days. Renew our heart, strengthen our way. Bow as we enter this throne room, and we cast ourselves down at your feet. We cry, holy, thou art holy, there is none like thee. In your presence is where we must be. In your presence is where we must be. Holy. Anybody believe that he's holy? Put your hand up if you believe. Holy, thou art holy. We cry, holy, thou art holy, none like thee. Holy, thou art holy, there is none like thee. Holy, holy, there is none like thee. Holy, holy, there is none like thee. Holy, thou art holy, there is none like thee. In your presence is where we must be. In your presence is where we must be. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I am grateful to God for the privilege and the opportunity to stand and deliver the word of God. It is always an opportunity that only God by his grace gives us. Not only his grace, his mercy, but his loving kindness and his tender care. Our God is God, and beside him there is no other. Can I get an amen for that? I'm humbled, and I do not want to be remiss here and not acknowledge your great and amazing, humble Pastor West, and we pray for his expedient recovery as God is continuing to work on expanding his presence and his power and his plan in and through Pastor West. Amen. I am encouraged because the Bible tells me that he who had begun a good work will continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Often, we don't know what that work looks like because as his word declares that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are greater than our thoughts, amen? So what might look strange to you and to me may be just and fitting with God's perfect plan. Pastor Wes and I was talking about that in his office, and now we understand, having gone through bouts of sicknesses and weaknesses, that what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that when I am weak, then I am strong. There's a transition that happens that the frailty of my flesh now gets wrapped in the faith of God's ability. That I don't know what he's doing, but he never stops doing what he's doing because he is God. In fact, not only is he a God that superintends, he's also a God that superrules. So long as I know that he's got everything, somebody sang it in a song, he's got the whole world in his hand, right? And that's good to know that even if I can't do, he has never stopped doing, amen. I believe I got a believing church up in here that loves to praise the Lord, is that right? Okay, don't get me started because I'll walk and I'll talk. If you knew what God had done for me, you would be shouting too. That's why when the praises were going up, I couldn't help but wave my hand and clap my hand and go into the corner to just fellowship with God because I remember what God done for me. Anybody remember what he done for him? That he picked you up when you were down and didn't think that anybody cared about you. And then he, as you said and demonstrated, then he turned you around, gave you a new course and a new direction. I won't be before you long, but I will be before you intentionally and deliberately. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, and again, your tender care. We're asking you humbly, please, would you illuminate, illustrate, animate, and amplify your word for our reception and our application. Now, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus, give me grace to break that down. We want you to illuminate, turn the light of understanding on, illustrate, make it plain to us. Animate. Speak that word to me. Amplify. Show how your word applies to everyone. For our reception and our application, that we might be stronger, wiser, and so much better. able to come when you call us, to go where you would send us, and to do what you would command us, that would result in you receiving praise, honor, and glory, for we are in agreement. We are in agreement. We are in agreement. And we declare you are worthy. If you agree with the prayer, acknowledge your agreement by saying amen. Anybody got a Bible? Hold your Bible up. Hold it up proudly. Say, this is my Bible. It is the word of God, a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. I am ready, willing, and able to hear and to do the word of God. Turn your attention to Mark chapter 6. I just want to visit and explore this one verse and see what God is doing in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Again, I won't be before you long, but I will be before you intentionally. The Bible declares that he who hath eyes to see, those who seek the Lord will find him. Oftentimes we are caught up in the throes and the allure of performance, and that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity had nothing to do with performance. Nobody can outdo what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, amen? Yeah, they lifted him up high and they stretched him out wide, and they thought that was the end of the story. Then they had the audacity, tenacity, and gall to try to put him in a hole and put a rock over the hole when they didn't know that he's the one who made the rock. Hello? So when it came time, see, this is the true meaning of rock and roll. You didn't catch that. Yeah, this is where it got its origin from, rock and roll, because, see, the person who made the rock, see, it was the stone that the builders rejected, and then somebody thought they were smart enough to put the stone inside of the stone. So when the stone got to moving and then the rocks got to rolling, and he stepped through what he made. Now, anyway, let me decrease. and then they're going to act surprised. Yeah, okay, right. You don't know who you're messing with. Anyway, you'll find these words. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. And I'm going to stop here, brief. He was about to pass them. That's the word of God, okay? I'm going to read that one more time. This is abbreviated because I want you to see what God is doing here. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. And the Bible declares that he was about to pass by them. That's the word of God. Say amen. Here's a simple subject. Here he comes. Repeat after me. Here he comes. There he goes. Once again, here he comes. There he goes. Now, I'm old, and I'm glad to be old because I'm still on top of the ground, and the ground ain't on top of me. Amen. Hallelujah lights. No, I love the Lord, so I get all excited about Jesus, and I don't care who I'm around and who I'm with because, you know, he said wherever, and I heard somebody refer to that today, wherever two or more. I love his math. His math is amazing. It's actually minimalist. It says wherever two or more were gathered, that he would, come on, he would show up, right? It looks like more than two up in here today. So if I can just get just one somebody to say amen with me, we're gonna go somewhere. Hallelujah. Y'all ready for this? In 1966, there was a song that was composed. One, let me let you know, I believe that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So everything that is made, regardless of its origins, comes from God. It just has to be repurposed and reframed. Actually, we have to look upon that God is weaved in everything. We wouldn't have the jobs that you have, the homes that you live in, if God was not involved in there somewhere. But you gotta look, you gotta lean into and look. Almost like anybody ever played that game, Where's Waldo? Anybody, show of hand, who ever heard that game, Where's Waldo? You know, you gotta, and see the enemy, he tries to distract us with a whole lot of, reminds me of a kid, you know, their children are distracted by shiny objects, in colors, in noise. You got that? Shiny objects, colors, and noise. Shiny objects, colors, and noise, right? Huh. And I said, children are distracted by shiny objects. Somebody's picking it up already. You know you're still God's children, right? However grown you think you is, that's how we can get distracted from our faith. Shiny objects, colors, and noise makes it seem like the promise is over here when it's right here. Huh? Because you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ would save you, right? And he promised you that he was never going to leave you nor forsake you. But what the enemy would do is put a shiny object in color and noise around you to persuade you that you are all alone in your experiences. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's why Paul said you got to work. I know some of us then got out of working out. It's never too old. I'm 63. I still work out. Maybe not as often as I should, but I still. He says you got to work out your own salvation. If you're glad and you put your hands up and you said you was glad, what God has done for you, wouldn't you want to retain that? Retain that joy? Sometimes the husband and wife, the boyfriend and girlfriend got to turn from the shiny objects, the colors, and the noise, whether it be TV or friends, to the word of God. In just one word, one verse can change the whole trajectory of your life. But we must be disciplined. If we once was lost, but now am found, right? That's something even the writer of Hebrews said. We have to be careful that we don't let these things slip from us, right? Because if you appreciate what God has done for you and the journey that you have been with him, the once was lost, but now I am found journey, wouldn't you want to hold on to his unchanging hand? Wouldn't you want to hold on just a little bit tighter and a little bit longer, because his promises are true. What he has done for others, he's ready to do for you. Anybody believe that today? So in 66, there was a song composed, and a couple of different songwriters, singers actually sang the song. One was Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, and then there was another version by Diana Ross that said, "Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't the only one old up in it." No, anyway. "Ain't no valley low enough." Somebody else help me. "Ain't no river to keep me from getting." Okay, we can keep the babe part out, but I want you to see how God applies this too. "Ain't no mountain." Remember I told you earlier, he said, "I would never leave you nor forsake you," right? So ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you. Now if you know, say, Pastor Greg, what you here for today? I want to inspire you and encourage you. You understand? I want to inspire and encourage you. So now, this is not a theological exercise. Yes, I am studied, okay? But there's every now and then you just need to inspire people with the word of God to let them see what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do. Same God back then, same God right now. You hear me? And then we got to stir up our most holy faith. Since there is more than two gathered here today, we got a whole lot of stirring up we can do. Hello? So, it reminds me, Helene, about this last sermon I preached over there at the Refuge Church. Remind me of the commercial that from Aired Extra Dry that said, once you get a little closer, don't be shy. Get a little closer to Aired Extra Dry. Well, we don't need no deodorant, but what it said, the message is true. We got to get a little closer. You don't understand how the enemy is working overtime to tear up this church. And he's not trying to tear it up from outside. He's trying to tear it up from inside. It's called implosion. But these people with the most holy faith, we can gather together, rub elbows together, get down on our knees together, search the scriptures together. We might go down weak, but we coming up strong. High enough, valley low enough, river wide enough to keep me from getting you. And this is what this particular scripture talking about. We see Jesus, after performing the miracle of the two little fishes and five loaves of bread, because he was obedient to the Father's will. And in the performance of miracles, most people don't know what it takes. It takes something out of you. That he needed to go up in the mountain to pray, to get restored, to get refreshed, to do what Pastor Wes is doing. Yes. Fellowship with, see my brother, get refilled, get revived. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Sometimes you got to get away from the crowd. Get to the one who called you. You hear me? And he said, I need to go be with my daddy I'm from Louisiana, so I got a little country in me. I ain't got a whole lot, but I got a little bit. You know, I got to go. I ain't got nothing against y'all disciples. I like y'all, even though y'all is a motley crew. Y'all is, y'all is definitely the misfit kids. So anyway. Because if you ever knew and did any research about the 12, they were quite a gathering. Yeah, there was a lot of fighting amongst them anyway. I love y'all, but I got to go get recharged. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to get in that boat. I want you to go to the other side. We got some work. I want you to get in the boat. I want you to go to the other side. Now, I know some of y'all slow finna get in this boat, so look, Peter, Andrew, one, y'all need to stop fussing and just get in the boat. Y'all hear what I'm saying, right? Because that's what I love about scripture. See, well, we try to always make it look like it's like, ooh, it's so really holy. No, God deal with real people. People just like you and me. You know, even though he saved us, you know, he didn't take away our temperaments and our character traits and our attitudes. He just redirected them. He just said that, I want you to, here we go again, Hebrews chapter 12, look at me. When I move, you move. Just okay, in a way. Say you got too much ghetto in him. Yes, he do. Okay, so I need y'all to get in the boat. Simple instruction, right? Go to the other side. I will meet you there. Peter, stop asking me about my business, where I'm going. You need to, I tell my fiance, Helene, soon to be wife, with her strong Greek, you know what, that's a strong woman. Anyway, she is, shake her hand. Anyway, God got a sense of humor. Anyway, you know, I thought I was strong, and I'm saying like, woo. Anyway, get in the boat. Oh, that's what I told her. I said, if you're asking questions, this ain't for you. Hear me what I said. If you're asking questions, this ain't for you. Y'all want to ask me where I'm going, what I'm doing. Are you ready to handle the answer to that? Yeah, you've been curious about too much. All I need you to do, get in the boat, travel over to the other side. I'll meet you there. All right. So he went up in the mountain, and he prayed. And the hour came when it was time for him to be reconciled with his disciples. The Bible says, give me that scripture. He saw what? The disciples straining. Now, what I'm going to do, by the grace of God, and I'm going to be conservative with my time. Give me just a second. Is I want you to see that Jesus saw his disciples straining. They were having travel troubles. Travel trouble. They were having trouble getting from point A to point B. Who got a job here? You ever had trouble? Traveling from point A to point B, you try to calculate how long it's going to take you to get to the job, but you did not count for the new construction that they decided to put up overnight and not tell you about it. Amen. What I like about this telling is that in the midst of travel, trouble, the Bible says that he came to them. I need y'all to hear me right now. It does not matter what trouble or travel trouble that you may be experiencing. I'm not talking about being in your car. I'm talking about even being in your relationship with your significant other, from getting from point A to point B. In your faith, from point A to point B. Said that our salvation is closer now than it ever was at the beginning. That's from point A to point B, that Jesus will come to you in the midst of your travel trouble. Remember I said ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley. Anyway, whatever. Hold on. The Bible said that he went out, continue. Oh, yeah, it goes right there. He went out to them to provide them course correction. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is death. When Jesus traveled on the water to them as a water walker. Now, that's amazing. So this is how God is omnipotent, that since I made the water, I can walk out on the water. And since I am omniscient, I can be everywhere. And since I'm omnipresent, I can be everywhere. And since I'm omniscient, I know all things. I know that they're in trouble, and I know that they need some course correction. So I'm coming. I'm not going to make them come to me. I'm going to come to them. But here's my question to you, saints. Are you ready for him to come to you? I mean, are you really ready for him to come to you? One of the scriptures you should commit to memory, if any scripture that I share with you today, is Psalm 46 and 10. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. That means the shiny objects, the colors, and the loud sounds won't distract you because you're busy getting acquainted with who I am. Haven't you ever evaluated some of the conversations that we get into? We talk around a subject because we don't have the power to change it. That's called powerlessness. It can be overwhelming. It can induce, oh, you didn't know, I am a mental health professional as well. You didn't know that it can induce anxiety, stress, depression. What is anxiety? It's fear of the unknown. We imagine some of everything could possibly happen, even though nothing has. Where is our anchor? Our anchor is in our relationship with Jesus. How are you going to get anchored in somebody if you don't know them? How much time, in the midst of all those conversations, it reminds me of that drill they taught us as kids, the fire drill. Remember that? Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll, which means, remember I said, be still, know them, God? Stop talking. Hello. Because you can't argue with yourself, right? In fact, I'm finna take a detour right quick. Anybody in here dance beside me? Who danced? Put your hand up. Don't be ashamed. Okay, for some of y'all who's not dancing, start dancing. Dancing is good for your soul. Yeah, my man, he had him a move. He said, hey. When the last time you seen anybody arguing dancing? Yeah, I'm tired of you drinking all the milk. You ate up all the cookies. When last time you seen anybody arguing dancing? When you dance, you rejoice. Even in the scriptures. Old Testament, these people used to not only praise, they used to dance. In fact, David danced out his clothes one time. Yeah, anyway. Read it, you'll find out. When you're focused on the Lord, you'll find that you're stirring up that overcoming power. Romans chapter 8, we are overcomers. There was a litany of things that seemed against us, that shall persecution and peril and sword and everything else. And then the writer concluded, Romans chapter 8, that I am persuaded. Huh? Greater is he in me. I just went to 1 John 4:4. Is he in me than he that is in the world? I'm an overcomer. Come on, somebody say overcomer. I'm an overcomer in Jesus Christ. So here's Jesus Christ proving. I'm giving. Actually, what we get to see is a preview of what he's doing in our life now and what he's going to do. So in the midst of our travel troubles, he's going to come to us if it means that he has to walk on the water to do so. He's going to, upon arrival, give us course correction because we might be going in the right way with the wrong mind. You can only imagine if the Bible says that the wind was against, these guys were not brave guys, okay? I can only imagine the conversation that was happening on that boat. Why don't we go back? It seemed because the wind and stuff is coming against us. It's dark out here. Ain't nobody brought nothing to eat. The Wi-Fi ain't working. Y'all understand? Why don't we just go back? Because Jesus said go over. But did he really mean go like all the way over? Or like, hello? Right? And then you could, they were straining too. Trying to get, so they had more against them than it seemed like they had more for them, right? But what he had to do is come to them and let them know that you're on the right course, but you got the wrong mind. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Y'all ain't gonna never have Pastor Greg back no more. But that's not the end of the story. The Bible says he was about to pass them. Huh. And here's what I want you to understand about that. Now, one, Jesus is omnipotent. He has all power. He could have spoke to the waves, the wind, peace, be still right immediately, and they would have stopped, okay? but he decided to walk on the water. He's omniscient, so he knows all things. This is where we got it inspired around Christmas time, that he knows when you are sleeping. He knows when. They actually was talking about Jesus, but y'all thought that was Santa Claus anyway. He knows when you've been bad or good, because you want to get a present. When you already got one, it's called life, health, and strength. Yeah, because you ain't going to be able to open nothing without life, health, and strength. Then he's omnipresent. Like, ooh, there he is. Here come Jesus. Is that really him? Yeah, it looked like him. They fussing on the boat. It looked like him, seemed like, but it looked like a ghost. That is him, ain't it? Yeah. Looked like the same outfit he had on when he fed the people. That's him. But that's deep. He walking on water. I guess we're special. Say, well, why, having all the power, omnipotent, being everywhere, omnipresent, and knowing all things, omniscient, how could Jesus possibly pass them by? Oftentimes, we get caught up in our past and get distracted in our present at the cost of forfeiting our future. He didn't pass them by because he didn't know that they were there. Remember, now, I want y'all to imagine, okay, Pastor Greg is one of the disciples, and I'm on the boat, right? And we are paddling this way. You understand? And the wind and waves is tossing, and the darkness is all against us. Guess where we can't see? We can't see what's behind us. Y'all didn't catch that. I'm trying to tell somebody something. Because our destiny, that's our future. But because we are in the throes of this storm, and we're straining to get to our destiny, we can't see what's waiting for us behind us. He went to take care of the trouble in their future. Jeremiah 29:11 said, you don't know the plans that I got for you. Plans to bless you. What does that say? You got it right there. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a what?
Future.
But I got to go prepared for you. You don't understand that the enemy does not want you to reach your destination. My work ain't done. My work ain't over. Not only did I come from your past into your present, I am pressing on towards your future because I want you to have an expected end. I want a good outcome for you.
Amen.
I ain't passing you by because I don't see you, but you don't see what's waiting on you.
Say, ooh, you done that quick? Yeah, that was enough. We planted a lot of seeds, stirred up a lot of trouble. Yeah, because our souls, I just gotta get in a posture of prayer. Just let the Holy Spirit do what he do. Ooh, Lord, thank you. Somebody ought to be lifting up their hand to Jesus right now. Just lift your hand up to him. Just close your eyes. Just lift your hand up. You know what I want you to do? I want you just to surrender it to him right now. Surrender it to him. I know you've been worried about what's going on in your life, and you're worried about your future. What's it going to look like? What kind of outcome are you going to have? But what I want you to do, I want you to go back and look at Jesus, that day that you met him, that day that circumstance, situation, and condition was so overwhelming that you lost your options. You were against all odds, and somebody, you remember having told you about him. You decided, I'm going to try it for myself. And you decided that I believe because I'm in the midst. I'm up against it. The winds and the waves, they're too turbulent for me. I'm trying the best. I'm straining. I'm trying to get to my destination, but it's getting hard and my arms are getting tired. And it seems like I'm out here all by myself. But then you come to me softly and tenderly, knocking on my heart door, asking for entrance. And in my weakness, I say, yes, Lord, you can come in to my heart and you can occupy the empty spaces so much that you'll give me new joy. You'll give me new hope. I'm finally hearing your voice for the very first time. You're letting me know that I'm yours and you're mine. Oh, I bless your name, because you didn't have to do it. I could have just sunk out there in the ship, straining against the trouble, the trial, and the tribulation. But you came to me. Yeah, you passed me by because you wanted me to have a guaranteed future. So you went and fought for me what I could not see. And you're waiting on me to catch up to you. And we can walk lockstep, arm in arm, me and Jesus, all together in harmony. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody ought to say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because when praises go up, blessings do come down. Hallelujah.